Hey friend, let's be honest. We live in a world full of pleasurable things, from a delightful meal or cup of coffee, to a good book or beautiful work of art, to a breathtaking landscape or historic architecture, as well as many things that stir the passions often buried deep inside, from building and creating, to teaching and leading, to exploring and traveling. And we are told by the culture around us, do what feels good. But is that good, or even God's best for us? As it says in More Than Anything, when treasured as a gift given by God, pleasurable experiences and personal passions can sweeten our days, captivate our senses, showcase our unique qualities, and utilize our giftings. But when treasured like a god, pleasurable experiences and passionate pursuits can seduce us away from the giver of all good things. So, how do we, as busy Christian women, pursue passion and pleasure in a way that makes God the recipient of our greatest attention and affection? The answer is not found in just doing what feels good in the moment, but in finding Him as the ultimate source of delight and joy that we experience in the things of this world. So, are you ready to enjoy the joys of life with God on the throne? Let's enjoy the journey together as we look at what's ultimately on the throne of our hearts. Hey, busy lady, trying to juggle all the things in midlife and business. I see you. Are you tired of feeling like you're constantly on the hamster wheel, doing all the things you've been told are required to grow a successful business? Are you ready to slow down the pace of life and focus your time on what's really necessary to experience abundant fruitfulness this year? Are you desiring to finally stop second-guessing, people-pleasing, box-checking, and multitasking, and instead have a way of building a business that is life-giving, not sucking the life out of you? Friend, you are not just building a business. You are pursuing the purpose God has for your life to glorify Him in all you do. So let me invite you to the most heart, calendar, and should-do list shaping virtual event of the year for Christian women, solo, and entrepreneurs who are ready to ditch random busyness in exchange for faithful fruitfulness in both life and business, and who are doing it with clarity, confidence, and consistency, even in the midst of the chaos of midlife. It's called CEO's Declutter Should Do's 3-day workshop series, and it's happening live April 9 through 11. Inside this exclusive workshop series, you're going to discover my With God business model, how to get clarity on your mission by crafting a With God vision, confidence in your messaging by laying a With God foundation, consistency in your motivation by building With God plans, and calm in your messy midlife by balancing a With God life. This is how women who know who they are and whose they are do business, in full assurance of faith and true partnership with God. If you're looking to see a return on the investment of your time and resources that's no longer a meager yield but an abundant harvest, if you're tired of listening to the world's gurus that tell you you have to do all the things to please a fictitious avatar and mysterious algorithm, if you're ready to lay down what keeps you from fully turning off so you can truly rest and still grow your impact and income, if you've decided with God that this is the year you're going all in for His glory, without worrying about everyone else's permission, persuasion, or perception, then I want to invite you to redeem your time and your free ticket to the CEO's Declutter Should Do's workshop series now, and access special early bird bonuses like my brand new CEO's Foundational Decisions Guide to walk you through 3 key decisions you must make as a CEO with God before you build any further. So, if you're looking for a faith-centered system with truth-based support to ensure your business is well-built, as well as your life, all you need to do is go to redeemhertime.com/declutter to RSVP for the workshop. And I'll see you in your inbox with all the details, plus your free bonus guide. Hey, busy solo or entrepreneur. When was the last time that you made time just to have fun and enjoy life? If you're like I was for far too long, and where I can easily find myself if I'm not intentional in this area of my life, you might be missing out on the smiles, the laughter, the adventure that God has for you Because who's got time when you've got a business to grow and a life to manage and way too many things on your should-do list? Here's the thing. If you don't make the time, it will never happen. Why? Well, because there will always be something or someone else that you could or should be paying attention to. I don't know about you, but when I made the decision to not go back into a classroom and instead step into the world of owning my own business, it was so that I could enjoy more life. Because CEOs don't have to ask a boss for time off. Yes, CEOs, Christ-empowered operators of a with God business, do have more freedom to build a business around their life rather than life around their business. At least when they do it with attention and intention to what God has called them to. Rather than punching a clock every day to go build someone else's business, we, as entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, get to build something bigger than us that allows us to be part of other things that matter to us. Relationships, ministries, passions, experiences. That way, it's not all work and no play or enjoyment. But with that freedom also comes a level of responsibility. Once you have a bigger with God vision in all 8 key areas of your life, now comes the necessity to determine what tasks and opportunities get your yes and which don't. Because if you do everything you see or hear the experts and those who look like they have a business that gives them freedom tell you to do, very quickly, you'll be shackled by a list of should-dos that suck all the life, joy, and passion out of you, only leaving you depleted and exhausted and honestly out of time. How do I know? Because that was me for way too long. I let my business take over my life, and then I literally had no life, because when you're always working, who has time for the enjoyable things in life? But it doesn't have to be that way, because CEOs know how to declutter should-dos. Speaking of which, did you register for the free 3-day live CEOs Declutter Should-dos workshop series? You're going to want to be there, because who wants life to be all work and no pleasure? Since then, you'll never get to the end of your should-do list anyway. Or, on the other extreme, who wants to be so overwhelmed by that list that you opt instead for too much fun because, well, it feels better in the moment, and then wonder why your business isn't growing and producing fruit? Either way, you're going to want to walk away knowing who you are as the CEO of your God-given business, what tasks to focus on and which to let go, when to sit down to business hours, as well as how a with God business fits into a bigger with God life that is bigger than what feels good in the here and now and allows you to enjoy the good gifts God has given you. So, just in case you missed the link or didn't think you had time for something other than work, I'm here to tell you, you don't have time not to enjoy life, because God has something for you and for me in the parts that are just plain enjoyment too. But you'll never get there unless you declutter your should-dos. So, go on over to redeemhertime.com/declutter and plan to join me April 9 to 11 for this life, business, and heart-shaping live 3-day workshop series that will give you back the time to enjoy life and build a successful business with God. Speaking of enjoying life, what place does pursuing pleasure and passions have in your life? Well, if you're like most of the world around us, it's not in the right place. Listen to how Paul describes those who live without God on the throne, aka the godless, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 5. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Did you hear it in there? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? That means God is not on the throne of their life, but all the other things of this world they love are. And 1 John 2:15-17 tells us what those other pleasures of the world are. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Notice, not only will the pleasures pass away, but so will those who pursue them over God. And even more sad is that those who think in passion and pleasure they'll find freedom of expression and experience, they actually encounter the exact opposite. Titus 3:3 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." That, my friend, is because in attempting to find joy and contentment in passions and pleasures outside of God, we are actually left empty and longing for more. It can become not only a fruitless pursuit, but also an idol of the heart. But when we treasure them as a gift from Him for our good, they can actually turn our greatest time, attention, and affection toward Him, the source of our true delight. So, how in the midst of busy lives, juggling all the things in midlife and business, do we pursue pleasure and passions in a healthy way that keeps Him on the throne? I'm so glad you asked, because making time for enjoying is a journey I'm still on as someone who tends to hyper-focus on work to the neglect of play. But as I continue to grow in this, not only does my heart feel lighter, so does my should-do list. Throughout this Above All Else series of letting go of lesser things that get our time, attention, and affection, and push God off the throne of our heart, I've been pulling from the Daily Grace Co. More Than Anything study, in which they address both pleasure and passions, one of the 8 key areas of attention we talk about here on Redeem Her Time. So let's start with pleasure. The study defines pleasure as the broad category of things that make us feel good in the experiences we seek after. I love that God created us in His image with senses to enjoy, delight in, and experience pleasure. Again, it can be as simple as a good cup of coffee or a beautiful song or an enjoyable vacation. When treasured as a gift given by God, pleasurable experiences can help sweeten our days and captivate our senses. But when treasured like a god, pleasurable experiences seduce and entice us away from God and into sin. I recently read this quote, which feels very fitting for any area we've addressed thus far, including pleasure. "When good things become God things, they become wrong things." Wow. That phrase, "lovers of pleasure," that Timothy used in 2 Timothy 3, is closely related to the concept of hedonism that Paul addressed over and over in Scripture, and that still defines much of our culture's beliefs about pleasure. Hedonism is the philosophy that pleasure is the highest good and the best aim of life. It seems to gratify the desires of the flesh described in Titus, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, which we know is insatiable. You see, ever since the fall, humans have wrestled with this desire for what we think is good outside of God. And when we go after pleasure like it's the end all of our enjoyment, it turns our hearts away from the true source of pleasure, the Lord. And as with anything, when our pursuit of pleasure becomes greater than our pursuit of God, or we slowly or swiftly become willing to sin in order to get our next fix, it has replaced loving God and become an idol, leading to sin and separation from Him. And no matter what the enemy whispers in our ears, whether it's the lie that it won't hurt us or that God just wants to keep something pleasurable from us, the promise of pleasure will only lead to our destruction when we yield to its demand for our time, attention, and affection. But God has created all things, and He said that they were good, and He wants His children to enjoy them, as long as it's within good limits that He has placed for our protection. As a parent, do you remember the days when you set a rule or a boundary, whether physical like a baby gate or verbal like don't run out in the road? How did your kids, or you at that age, tend to respond? At first, it might have been anger and blaming you for removing their freedom, but you and I both know it was actually for their protection, and that inside those good boundaries was the opportunity to enjoy life. In the same way, God has put healthy boundaries on our pleasures, not to be a killjoy, but actually to give us life and life to the full. Because the enemy is really the one with his lies about pleasure of the world who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I don't know about you, but that's not the life that I want to live by pursuing those things. So, what are some examples of God's good limits on pleasures? Well, physical intimacy is to be enjoyed with a loving spouse within the context of marriage. Wine can be enjoyed with good friends in moderation in a way that does not lead to drunkenness. And food is to be enjoyed in a way that nourishes the body, but does not turn us to gluttony. As it says, and more than anything, God is purposeful and intentional with his instruction because he knows the best way for those pleasures to be consumed for our good and his glory. When enjoyed outside those bounds, we fall victim to temptations and sin such as sexual immorality, drunkenness, greed, impurity, covetousness, and lawless behavior. It feeds our fleshly desire for more and without restraint becomes idolatry. So, instead, as women seeking to live a with God life and build a with God business, we need to be sure to know and love his word as a way to guide us toward the right kinds of pleasure in the right way for the right reason, to glorify him. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 reminds us that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, aka right living. Why? So that we may be complete and equipped for every good work. When we rightly know, love, and apply his word to our pleasures, we can enjoy them in a way that is good for us and glorifying to him, because it leaves us longing for the giver, where Psalm 16:11 says, reminds us, there are pleasures forevermore. Do your simple pleasures, like your morning cup of coffee, your Pandora playlist, your date night with your hubby, or your larger ones, like your new vehicle, your beach vacation, your piece of artwork, do they turn your heart not toward the pleasure itself, but towards the source, him? Here are a few reflection questions on the place that pleasure holds in your heart. What pleasures do you enjoy, and how might you be tempted to idolize them? In what ways does God's word equip you to enjoy pleasures of this world without being consumed by them? And how can enjoying pleasure ultimately turn you back to God in worship? In a very similar way, passions are the beautiful gifts that can turn us toward the Lord who put them inside us, or to the thrill we think we'll find in pursuing them. The study defines passions as that which ignites our creativity, fuels our imagination, or satisfies the need to express ourselves. And here, inside of Redeemer Time, we define passions as that which lights a fire inside you. Some of us have a passion for art, music, or writing. Others find passion in building, designing, or creating. Still others uncover passion in exploring, traveling, and sporting, while some discover it through learning, experiencing, or conquering. A passion is anything that you strongly delight in that stirs you. It can include hobbies, collections, skills, or interests, and they are as unique as your fingerprint, giving you the means to showcase your unique qualities, talents, or gifts, and to express yourself to the world around you. Ultimately, they are a gift from God that makes you, you. So how can something so beautiful and unique become an idol of the heart? Well, in the same way all the others we've covered cross over that line of getting more of our time, attention, and affection than God. You see, due to our fallen nature, we can easily blur the line between a gift and a God. Yes, our passions, no matter what form they take in each season of life, are gifts intended to result in gratitude for the giver as we reflect him and who he made us to be. But even with good and godly intentions behind our passions, we can quickly become consumed by them and start looking to them as a means of fulfillment, meaning, and purpose. And my friend, as with any idol, they may look shiny and promising at first, but you will soon find they are without eyes, ears, mouth, or hands to do anything for you besides take up time and space. So, what are signs that a line between a good thing and a God thing have been blurred? Well, we find our identity in what we do and the gifts and talents we present to the world. When we need passion-filled experiences to feel fulfilled or find meaning and direction. When we are willing to exhaust or even overly spend our resources like time, money, and energy to pursue them. Ultimately, when we love our passions more than the one who truly loves us, our lives always reflect where our heart truly lies and what we love most. So what do your passions say about you? Are you more passionate about God or lesser things? Do you use your passions to shine the spotlight on him or on yourself? He is to be our greatest passion. But that does not mean we are to live passionless lives with straight faces, white walls, and boring Friday nights. But rather, when we show the world the passion he has put inside us, whether that's to create art, or bake a cake, or hike a mountain, or dive the ocean, or teach a child, or lead a team, or any other of a host of passions unique to you, we have an opportunity to not say, look at me, but look at him. We serve a passionate God who created us in his image with all kinds of passions. As the study says, Jesus modeled perfectly for us what our ultimate aim and pursuit in life must be when he found his greatest delight in accomplishing the will of the Father. In the same way, we can explore our passions while still giving glory where it is due. We can delight in the giftings, craftsmanship, and aspirations God has given us without worshiping them. We can express our interests and eager longings while reflecting God's creative and wonder-filled nature. We can be eager and willing to pursue our passions while ultimately yearning to be with the one who gives us purpose and identity. So, yes, be passionate, and don't be ashamed if you think yours are over the top or if they don't quite measure up to what you see others doing. If it's what he's put in you, let it shine. Which begs the question, what are your passions? Honestly, it wasn't all that long ago that I had no idea, because my life truly was all work and no play. Because my focus was on fanning the flame inside all the other people in my life to put their passions out front while neglecting and ignoring my own. So, in this season of midlife, I'm giving myself permission to have passions, to try new things, and to enjoy who God made me to be in this world. And I have a feeling that discovering and learning about myself and my passions will continue for as long as he gives me breath. But what I know is that not only is he the source of my passions, he is my highest passion. So what about you? What are your passions, and what place do they hold in your heart? Speaking of which, here are a few reflection questions on passion. What passions do you have, and how might you be tempted to idolize them? How can you explore your passions without finding your purpose and identity in them alone? And in what ways can you use your specific passions to glorify God and say, look at him? Friend, I hope this episode left you with a smile on your face as you lean into who God made you to be and the pleasures and passions that you are most drawn to as a means of drawing others to him. Both pleasure and passion, just like all of creation, are good and for our good, but when they are enjoyed within good limits that he has created, and they hold the right place in our hearts and make us look to him. So, before you look at your calendar or to-do list for the work you need to get back to, I encourage you, ask the boss for some time off right now. Wait, you're the CEO, so you're looking at her. So go, take some time to rightly pursue a pleasure or passion that you enjoy and that stirs something in your soul for whatever time you decide, and end it by thanking him for it. And don't feel guilty that you played hooky from work, because CEOs, Christ-empowered operators of a with God business, know that experiencing more joy the way he intended only helps you to be even more fruitful the next time you do sit down to work. Speaking of which, seeing yourself as a CEO the way we define it around here, with God as the chairman of the board, lays the foundation for who you believe he's made you and what he's called you to. And that is the first step to go from random busyness out of the lack of clarity to faithful fruitfulness grounded in your calling. So be sure to register right now for the CEO's Declutter Should Do's happening live April 9th through 11th and get started with that early bird bonus guide to make your three CEO foundational decisions. I'll drop in your inbox ASAP when you go to redeemhertime.com/declutter. Because girl, with so much life to enjoy, ain't none of us got time to waste. Don't you agree? And I can't wait for the conversation we're going to have about this episode over inside the Redeemer Time community. Speaking of which, here is today's community question. What one pleasure or passion will you pursue this week, and how will you use it to look to him? Come on over and contribute your ideas and get inspired by others at redeemhertime.com/community. And let's hold one another accountable to making time to enjoy more in life. Are you up for that? Speaking of pleasure and passions being gifts from him, let's pray and thank him. Dear Father, you are the giver of all good gifts. As parents, we think we know how to give good gifts to our children, but you are the perfect Father who always gives just the right gift that is not only for our good, but that glorifies you. Thank you for the simple pleasures that you put in front of us every day, as well as the big life-shaping ones. Thank you for the unique passions you've created each one of us with, including the ones that shine, bring out in the front, and the ones that like to hang out behind the curtain. Forgive us for making pleasure and passion in our pursuit of them all about us and our desires. We confess that often in the process, our hearts turn away from you to the lesser things and push you off the throne. So help us to see the pleasures and passions you've created us to enjoy, and along the way, to see you as the source of these things to enjoy and point others toward you. And above all, give us a heart that passionately pursues you above all else and longs for pleasures at your right hand forevermore in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, friend, I'll see you over inside the Redeemer Time community where we'll talk more about this. Thanks for joining me for this episode. And until next time, remember, instead of chasing time on a clock, trying to control it, receive the gift of time from the one who truly holds it. Because as his daughter, you have time. Hey, before you go, I pray this episode blessed you, challenged you, and moved you to take action. So, what was the one thing God showed you today? I'd love to hear. So would you take a minute to leave a review on Apple Podcasts? It makes my heart smile, and that way I know you're liking the show. And it helps other busy Christian women, just like you, find real-life answers too. Speaking of which, grab the link and share this with someone you know that's been praying for a breakthrough. And don't forget to come join the after party inside the Redeem Her Time community. We're not just about knowing, we're about doing, together. Head on over to redeemhertime.com to join the community, leave a question to be featured on the podcast, schedule a free 15-minute strategy session, or all the above. Of course, I'll drop the link in the show notes because I know you're a busy girl. Look carefully then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15-16. I'll see you in a few days, friend. God bless.